Today on Real Radio.
Every single cult in the world disagrees with one another on almost everything except one thing. They all agree. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up and hear this. All the cults of the world agree only on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ of the Bible cannot be the one who the Bible nor Jesus says he is.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always, my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse through the New Testament narrative written by Luke and is examining the latter half of chapter 19. As well, we'll be looking at numerous other passages that support the principle of the Messiah being divine and therefore having divine authority. Let's get underway as Pastor Jack expounds on this in a mini-series called The Ever-Present Argument of God.
All the prophets spoke about Christ, and not only his coming, but him being the Son of God. A textbook example of God's ordained authority and him being the Son of God is Matthew chapter 8, verse 8. Listen to this. And the centurion said, Lord, to Jesus, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak the word that my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority. The centurion saw Jesus as one under authority as he was. I have soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. And to another, come, and he comes. And to a servant, I say, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those following him, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found so much great faith, no, not even in Israel. The man understood that Jesus' mission was to do the will of the Father. Jesus was under the authority. That centurion understood he was under the authority of Rome. And those under them were people under authority. The sonship of Jesus Christ, you know this verse. I think you hear it every week. Proverbs 30, verse 4, had been in their scriptures. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist? Who has bound the waters in his garment? Who has established all the ends of the earth? What is his name and what is his son's name, if you can tell? Proverbs 30, verse 4. Also this, the sonship of Jesus Christ is seen through his sonship in that he restores man to God. You see, the announcement about Jesus being the Son of God is God speaking and reaching man. But what about man coming to God? Verse 10, it goes on. But the vine dressers beat him and sent him away empty-handed. Again, he sent another servant, and they beat him also. Church, look at the history of Israel's leaders, religious leaders. They have killed the prophets that have been sent to them over and over again. That's been true throughout human history. And they beat him and treat him shamefully and sent him away empty-handed. Verse 12, and again, he sent a third, and they wounded him and threw him out. You guys, they were supposed to listen to the prophets. It's all based on authority. Who's the Son of God? Who's Jesus Christ? That's what they're asking. I talked about the police officer a moment ago. Have you ever been to a crazy busy city, especially if it's like Mexico City? Don't go there right now without a mask, but I've been to Moscow, I've been to London, I've been to places. Maybe you've been to some very, very crazy cities and the traffic's flying around. And this little guy goes out there and he's got a uniform on. He's got usually a white band that goes across his chest. He's got white gloves on and he has a badge and he has a hat on. And the traffic's going nuts. And you know what? That guy stands right in the middle of traffic. Would you stand in the middle of that insane traffic? No. Why would you not stand there? Because you don't have any authority. But this little guy walks out there. I've seen it in Russia. It's amazing. And the guy goes like this. And he holds up a stop sign. And let me tell you something. I don't care if it's limousines, Range Rovers, people on bicycles, rickshaws, or hot rods. There's a screeching of brakes. Ah! Everyone stops. The whole corner of the intersection, everyone stops. And this little guy's like this. And boom, they go. Why did they stop? Was it because the little old man was so cute in his uniform? No. What was behind the little old man? The authority of the nation. Think about that. That officer would never go into that traffic without his uniform on and the things that announce his authority. You know what? Jesus had a uniform on. The uniform was his deity. Well, how do you know that? Because he raised people from the dead, and these guys knew it. The ministry had been founded and was obvious, and they knew it. And they blew him off. And Jesus is saying that's how they treated the prophets. They all came in the authority of God, spoke the word of God, and they killed them. They blew them away. Now look at this. This is stunning. The relationship between God and man and God. 1 John 1:1 says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon. We heard about this verse earlier. And our hands have handled concerning the word of life. Verse 2, the life was manifested and we've seen him. 1 Timothy 3:16 says that God was manifested in human flesh. But why? Why did that have to happen? You see, Jack, I don't like the idea of God becoming a human. That's just too personal. Oh, my friend, it has to happen that way. In 1 Timothy 2:5, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man Christ Jesus. That is awesome. Why did God have to come as a man? Because you can't have a mediator. He didn't come as an angel. He didn't come as an animal. God took upon himself the form of a man. Colossians 1:20 says, for by him he has reconciled all things to himself, by him whether they be things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Jesus did that. Why did he have to come? Because he had to connect. He had to bring together God and man, man to God. A.W. Tozer writes this, the only reasonable relationship between God and man is one of full lordship on his part and complete submission on our part. Whenever you resist authority that God has put into place, if you agree with it or not, you are fighting against God and you will not prosper. Why? Because you are not submitted to God. When God establishes the authority, even though we didn't vote for it, we submit to it in the Lord. The Christian should be the greatest citizen of any community, hands down. And in religious matters, you see, well, I don't agree with the color of our carpet. I don't agree with it either, but it was the cheapest carpet we can find. Well, how come we don't paint the walls? Everything in here is just this drabby color. I don't know. You know, you can move into a house, you paint it with the cheapest paint you can buy, and you get underway with ministry with life. Granted, this place needs a remodel, I guess. Huh? I don't know. But I want to talk to the authority on that. Hey, that's just great. That's fantastic. Go meet with the authorities on that. But if they come back and they say, well, you know what? We either keep the sanctuary as ugly as it is so we can reach Mali, Africa, and the kids. And that particular authority over that ministry says, we've decided to reach Mali and the kids. You might say, I don't agree with that authority. I want a super duper stained glass, awesome, beautiful sanctuary. Well, I don't know what to tell you, but if the missions ministry, that's the way the money ought to go. You see what I'm saying? It gets real personal real quick. We disagree. I think God makes sure that we disagree with authority sometimes, just to see where our hearts are at. Thirdly, the sonship of Jesus Christ bridges the difference. Verse 13, then the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? This is God the Father speaking in the parable. What do I do? I know. I'll send my beloved son. Oh, mark those three words. My beloved son. Mark those. Jesus, you guys. Are you awake, everyone? Jesus, you guys. If he had a slingshot, when he starts verse 13, he says, then here's what the owner of the vineyard said, what shall I do? I will send my beloved son. Poof! He's hit him right between the eyes. You want to know why? That was a term that they had heard in the Greek language, in the original language. It's the same announcement that was made when Jesus Christ was baptized in the Jordan River, and the scribes and Pharisees and elders came out to ask John what he was doing. And remember, John baptized Jesus, and he coming up out of the water, what happened? The Spirit of God descended upon him like a dove, and God says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." They had heard that before. And they got hit like Goliath right between the eyes. Jesus is sticking the knife in, and he's kind of wiggling it now. I know what the vine owner, the vineyard owner, will do. In his patience, he sends his own son, his beloved son. You understand where this message is going? He sends his own son. Jesus right here, ladies and gentlemen, mark it well in your Bible. Jesus right here predicts, prophesies, that the religious leadership of Israel will kill the Son of God. Yep. Don't tell me Jesus didn't know what was coming. It's absolutely amazing. You say, "Jack, why is this even going on at all?" Guess what? We don't have the time to get into it. Will you mark it down, though, you guys? Because this is kind of awesome stuff. Why are these guys examining Jesus the way that they are? Why are they being so mean to him like this? It's okay. First of all, Jesus can take it. Second, he knows who he is. Third, he knows what his mission is. Here you go. Before, in Exodus, mark it down, in Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 6, before the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed to protect your own life, the Passover, because of the blood on the doorpost, check it out. You were to go in Egypt on that first Passover. In Exodus 12, verses 1 through 6, you were supposed to select a little lamb, remember? Without any blemish, perfect. And for a week, you were to have that lamb live in your house, cute little thing. And you examine it. The father of the house was to examine that little lamb for any irregularities, anything that was faulty, any broken bones, any anomalies, any deformities. The father examined the lamb perfectly. Why? That lamb was going to receive the punishment of your sins. You got it? It had to be perfect to a holy God. And so the sins were confessed at the temple or in the wilderness upon the little lamb of the person or the family. The sins, according to God, were transferred onto that sacrificial innocent lamb. God takes the life of the lamb through the offering that the priest gives, right? The priest had to inspect the lamb so the lamb could be proven perfect, and then they would kill it. See the picture? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? The Pharisees, scribes, elders, the Sanhedrin had to inspect Jesus this week. Why? Because right across, I'm so excited about this, right across town at the same time this is going on Passion Week. The priest of the temple, they were inspecting over 256,000 sheep for any irregularities for the Passover coming up that week. He is the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. It's awesome. Third and final point this morning, it's this. The ever-present argument of God, the authority of Jesus Christ, God's only Son. We look at this, verses 14 to 16, and we'll close it up here. The calling of Jesus Christ. The calling. We don't agree with your authority. We didn't grant it to you. We don't approve. Where did you get this from? Who are you? By his calling, my friends, men's hearts are exposed. Men's hearts are exposed. But when the vine dressers saw him, they reasoned among themselves. Remember the huddle from hell? And this is what they said. This is the heir, the son. This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and the inheritance will be ours. Jesus just exposed their hearts. Wow. But Jack, they're religious. Mm-hmm. But they're dressed up really cool. They've got titles. Mm-hmm. So what? They had titles. They were, listen, church, ordained. But by whom? What does the fruit portray? These guys were actually dangerous. And Jesus is saying, what's in your heart? And they got that parable. It hit them right between the eyes. Jesus is saying, you guys, you want me dead. Now look, here's the cool part. Jesus was going to lay down his life for all of us. Remember, didn't he say, I'll lay down my life when I'm ready, and I'll raise it up when I'm ready. No man takes it from me. He said that. These guys in their hearts are plotting. We know this. We've known this for months. They're plotting to kill Jesus. Why? Because they didn't believe in him. By the way, people who don't believe in him today, they want to kill him too. Don't make no mistake about it. Well, Jack, what if Jesus came back today like he came the first time? Let me think for a minute. They would kill him. Make no mistake about it. Exposing their hearts because they did not believe that he was the Son, the authority of God established. See, their own thoughts. We'll dominate. We'll rule. We'll establish the kingdom. We'll do our own thing. And with this indictment, Jesus exposes exactly what's in their hearts via the parable. But they're not listening. They could not. They did not want that to be true. And by the way, I've said this before, I'll say it again. All of the cults, every single cult in the world disagrees with one another on almost everything except one thing. They all agree. Ladies and gentlemen, wake up and hear this. All the cults of the world agree only on one thing, and that is Jesus Christ of the Bible cannot be the one who the Bible nor Jesus says he is. Every cult denies the authority and the place of Jesus Christ found in the Bible. The Bible says, by the way, in Isaiah 28:15, that these people have made a covenant with death, and with hell they are in agreement. What a tremendous statement. Let's redefine who Jesus Christ is. We can change him. Let's downgrade who Jesus Christ is. We can be like him. Let's kill who Jesus Christ is so our man or our God or our prophet can be greater. Not so. Also this, the calling of Jesus Christ, verse 15, by his calling, man's plots are known. Man's plots are revealed by the calling, the authority of Jesus Christ. So they cast him out of the vineyard and they killed him. Therefore, what will the owner, what will the father in this parable do when he comes to his vineyard? What will he do to them? We don't need to elaborate on this, simply saying that the rejection of Jesus Christ to this very second brings judgment upon anyone who's living a life of rejecting him. And whatever your schemings and plots may be, Jesus in verse 15 says, just know this, there'll be a day of reckoning. And then verse 16, we end here. The calling of Jesus Christ, his calling, calling man's future, the calling of man's future is in here revealed. Verse 16, he will come and, number one, destroy those vine dressers, and number two, give the vineyard to others. This is going to freak them out. What's he saying? Jesus, and they got it. Jesus is saying, hey, you guys, because you don't recognize my authority and who I am, here's what's going to happen. My Father is going to take from you even the self-appointed authority you have. You think you want to control the nation. You think you can. Guess what? It's all going to be taken from you. It's going to evaporate. And in less than 40 years from that utterance, it was gone. And so that's why it says, when they heard this, they shouted or they responded. It looks so proper in the English, doesn't it? And when they heard this, they said, certainly not. Sounds so nice. Certainly not. No, the word in Greek is, we would shout it today, no way! That's never going to happen. You can't do this to us. And unless they repented, they died in that position. Jesus has come to me. No way! Jesus says, my Father so loved you that he gave me to die in your place on the cross. Trust me, never! Well, okay then, just know that if you stay like this, my Father's coming back. He's going to take what's his. You don't have any authority. You thought you did? It was all self-appointed. three stooges who are supposed to know everything, and you criticize and tear up everything. You guys representing the leadership of Israel and leading people to spiritual supremacy. You yourselves are the most blind scribes, hypocrites, Jesus said to them, because they didn't agree with the authority of God. Pretty tough stuff, huh? Causes your heart to be a little bit humble, huh? Causes you to think, my goodness, I need to re-examine. And I need to be careful who the governor is. God has him in power. Our senators who voted against our wishes this week. Do we sit in the corner and suck our thumb in the fetal position and throw our hands up and say, all hope is lost? No, Lord, we were salt, we were light, we did what was righteous. The decision was made, it was against all that. We leave it in your hands. And we get up and we live our lives. Caesar's coming soon to your door, every one of us. And he's going to be coming and extracting 48% of your income each year from now till the Lord comes back. And what will you do? I don't believe in paying taxes. You're going to go to jail. Yeah, but they use it to fund abortions. I understand that. I'm not going to be judged for that. You're not either. They will be. The Lord is coming back to the vineyard, my friends. He's going to set it straight. What are we supposed to do? Be salt and light, stand for righteousness, and what happens if we get overruled? What if there's an authority that overrules us? It overrules us. In the end, they'll answer to God. Never, never, never must the Christian say, well, if we're going to lose, I'm just going to sit in the corner and never get involved or engaged. Then Jesus said of you, you have lost your saltiness and you are therefore now good for nothing but to be thrown off to the side. Wow. All this means God has absolute authority and he establishes authority if we like it or not. Amen. We are to pray for our president. Did I vote for him? No. Do I disagree with almost everything he does? About 99.9% disagree. But listen, he's my president. Who says? I could never say that, Jack. God put him in office. What a Christian should be asking is, why did God put him in office? We need to find that out. Is Jesus Christ holding the proper appointment in your life? Don't kick against God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a presentation called The Ever-Present Argument of God. It's actually a series within our overall exploration of Luke's New Testament account and taken from the latter portion of chapter 19. We'll continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. In the meantime, a reminder of our special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called Saints, Sex, and Sinners, an examination of Paul's dealings with the Corinthian believers and the issues which the series title clearly describes. And quite honestly, doesn't that sound like something that must be addressed today? Well, Pastor Jack does deal with it today, and it's available on DVD. To obtain Pastor Jack's series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners, just ask for it by name when you get in touch. All we request is a gift of any amount to the ongoing outreach of Real Radio, and we'll be glad to send you the DVD series, Saints, Sex, and Sinners. Call, click, or write if you prefer. Pay us a visit at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and you'll know just what to do. Our number is toll-free, 877 RR Radio, 877 RR Radio. Our mailing address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.